Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So first of all, I want to say a massive congratulations to those who have been baptized today. I don't know whether you've realized this, but you've just signed yourself up for a race. And I was thinking about what the Christian life race is like. And I was thinking, well, is it a 100-meter sprint? Well, no, that's just over and done, isn't it? We'd be in heaven. And there wouldn't be much fun in that. Is it, people have called it an obstacle race, perhaps a hurdles where you've got obstacles to go over. But again, it's very short. The only race I could liken the Christian journey to is a tough mudder. So well done, guys. You've just volunteered yourself for your first tough mudder. There's some enthusiasm here. It's great, isn't it? For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, the tough mudder is an endurance race over various distances. And here's just a little slide, if you've never seen it, of maybe some of these races. They vary in distance. Some are 5K, 10K. Some are much further. And it is a race of real endurance. As a matter of fact, I know some of the Calvary guys. You've done this race, haven't you? Oh, you just made that story up then. I'm sure Bryce had told me he'd done it. But the Tough Mudder race is a race that really kind of parallels really the Christian life. The next slide, please. Because there's three pictures on here. The first one at the top, you can see that there's going to be some pain. How do I know there's going to be pain in the Christian journey? Because Jesus said so. He said that when you follow him, when you take up your cross and you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you are setting out on a journey, and he said, you will suffer for my name's sake. It's not a very encouraging talk, isn't it, for people who've just been baptized? But it gets better, doesn't it? The second photo down, the guy's there, you can see the look on his face. What does it say? It says endurance, doesn't it? Perseverance. And that, again, is a truth, isn't it? In the Christian life, it's not all going to be easy. Many of you have been baptized. As I listen to your amazing stories and testimonies, you're already experiencing that the Christian life, it starts with great joy as you're born again and as you receive Christ. But actually, there are still times of pain. It is enduring. But look at this guy on the end. Yeah. He's having a lot of fun, isn't he? Let's not forget that, isn't it? And all of these things are in this reading. So let's have a think about what the writer to the Hebrews is trying to tell us. He first of all says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Well, if you see the word therefore in the Bible, you'll know that that basically means there's something gone before that really is connected to that. And what is connected to it is chapter 11. I'm not going to read all that. We haven't got that long for me to do that. But basically what it is, it marks out all the well-known people. It's like a hall of fame in the Old Testament of those people who ran their race with God, who were part of God's incredible story as he was bringing out the salvation that he was going to release in Jesus Christ. And they all had their race to run. And they all endured their race. They all had pain during their race, but they all had joy when they're in their race. Because it says, doesn't it, in the Bible, consider it a joy when you suffer, when you're running that race for God. But that was their race. And for all of you, and for those who've been a little bit further on in the journey, we need to realize, don't we, that the Bible says that you have your race marked out for you. In Ephesians, doesn't it? It says that God has, we're his workmanship, and he's created us and he's renewing us in Christ Jesus, but he's got works that he wants us to do. He's got an individual pattern for you to do. Some of you who shared testimonies tonight are going to be able to do things that many of us can't. You're going to be able to touch people. God's going to be able to use you in incredible ways that we possibly can't because we've not had those experiences. That's the race that God has marked out for you, that you are going to have to run yourself, doesn't it? But it says, doesn't it? It says that to run that race, we have to let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. And that's so true, isn't it? That, you know, God saves us by through our faith, by grace. It's not by works. But when we're running our race, we also play a part in how we choose to live and we choose to run that race. If we embrace Christ and we live for him and we study his word, we pray, we fellowship, we're going to be able to run that race much better. Because the thing about the Tough Mudder, if you go to the next slide, Sam, is we're not called to run that race alone. That's why I picked this one. Many people who do this Tough Mudder race, they do it in a team. It's not often an individual race. You're there surrounded by those people who are also running with you. Now look at this. Who on earth is going to get up there on their own? It's covered in mud. They need the people who've gone before, who are just a little bit ahead, to pull them up over that particular part of the race. And that's so true, isn't it? We need one another to run that race. They're individual. God's marked them out for you, but we run them with other people. It's not an individual sport that we're running. The Christian life, we live it together. That is part of it. So it tells us, doesn't it, to run that in race with endurance that is set before us. But you know, it goes on further, doesn't it? Because that's not enough, is it, to have endurance? I guess most of us can grit our teeth and just bat through, can't we? Most of us can rely on the love and the help of other people. But it says here, it says that we are to look unto Jesus. Because that is where our help comes from. That's it. Even if those let you down, who you're running with, even if the obstacle seems an impossible obstacle to pass, it says, let us look unto Jesus, because he is the author, which means he's the one that's writing the story. He's the starter of your faith. And one verse I always remember in my very early Christian days when I became born again, somebody gave me this and it stuck with me all of my journey. It said, let us be bold and say, the Lord is my helper. What is there to fear? And it goes on to say, he will never leave you or forsake you. He's the one to look to. And where is he? Well, let me tell you, he runs at the side of you. People often have this picture that he's there in the distance in heaven beckoning on. And that's a good picture to encourage us to keep going. But the truth is, Jesus walks and runs with you. He's there to pick you up when it's gone wrong. Forgive you when you've got something wrong, which we all do. He's there, isn't he, to keep encouraging you and saying, come on, you can do this. I'm with you. I'm helping you. That is who Jesus is, isn't it? But I want to ask you tonight, because there's probably three groups of people here tonight. You may be somebody who's been baptized, so you're pretty much on that journey now. You may be somebody tonight, you're visiting, you may be a friend or a family, and maybe you're not in that race. And the Bible is really clear. It says that God divides people into two. There's no black, white, Manchester United, Man City, there's none of that. God sees people in two ways. He sees those who are being and have been saved and those who are not. In this illustration of a race, it's the equivalent, isn't it, of being a couch potato laid on the sofa with the TV remote or up in the Tough Mudder race. Now, you know, if you're in the Tough Mudder race, are you in a race? Do you know you're racing? Or do you still think you're at home on a couch with on the TV remote? And that's the truth, isn't it? You know which side you are on. And, you know, it says in the Bible, in Romans, it says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Simple as that. If you ask any of these been baptized today, how do you know that this God of yours is real? How do you know that you are really saved? How do you know your sins are forgiven? Well, it says simply that the Holy Spirit testifies with your spirit and says you're a child of God.
Amen.
And that's the truth of it, isn't it?
Right.
That's what the Word of God says. But that's what our experience says as well, isn't it? As true when we've read it. So I want to ask you guys tonight whether you are in the race as well. And if you want to know, I can give you a very straight question for you to think about. And the question is this. It's, if you were to die tonight, would you be in heaven or with God? Because if you can say yes to that question, you're born again. Because the Spirit of God lives in you and testifies with your spirit that you belong to God, that you're his child. And should the worst happen, you died tonight, you would be with him. But if you're not sure, well, I don't believe in God, or I'm not sure, then I would say to you, then you're not in the race. And as Bryce said right at the beginning of the service, isn't it? He said, even tonight, you can be saved. You can come to Christ right now simply by saying, yes, Lord, I believe in you, Lord Jesus. I'll put my faith and trust in you. And I invite you to come and be part of my life. He does the rest. It's not what we do. And when we do that, he will receive you as a born-again person with all of the new life, all of these things that we've heard about today. The last part of that passage goes on to say about our race, it's about Jesus. It says, he's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right-hand throne of God. Jesus endured the suffering on a cross for the sins of this world, for every single person. He came and lived among us, God himself, because we're a fallen and broken humanity destined for judgment and for an eternity without him. But it says, doesn't it, for the joy that was before him. Because he loved this world so much. He loves each and every one of you so much that he endured that on the cross to make a way for you to become one of his children. For some of us here tonight as well, you're quite a way in your journey and you might actually feel like you've already run the marathon, because it's been tough, hasn't it? It's been a joyful experience. But you know, that passage is equally as an encouragement to us, isn't it? To say, continue running your race. Because until Jesus said enough, there's always more of that race to run. And there's always more of the guy with the smile on his face and the joy to have by simply following him. Don't fall into the apathy and just leaving it and just existing and going through the motions. Jesus wants you to have much, much more than that. Let's just take a moment to bow our heads. And I first just want to ask of you, as I do at all of these baptism services, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? The Bible says today, if you hear the voice of God, then today is the time to answer. Salvation is for today. Don't put it off to tomorrow or leave it to another time. And you can do that right now by just saying, yes, Lord, I come to you. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. I believe what you've done on the cross, that you endured that for me. And just make that step.